ومعين وهو خير موفق ومعين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد
وآله. واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. It's an honor to be at the Al-Bashir Center for these nights, inshallah ta'ala. I hope both you and I can benefit from these nights, inshallah ta'ala. And inshallah, I hope and pray that my speeches would be beneficial. Now, since the movement or the revolution started by Imam Hussein, actually wasn't started by Imam Hussein, but it was, he opened up a new page in the history of Shia. And the cause of that was to bring about the hukuma, the rule of the Ahlul Bayt. In view of this historical fact, and in view of the fact that Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam, after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, pursued the goal and pursued the goal of bringing about the rule of the Ahlul Bayt, a rule which would be, inshallah, put in place and established by Imam Mahdi, inshallah ta'ala. In view of this fact, in view of these facts, I decided that it would be good, inshallah ta'ala, to speak a little about Imam Mahdi and what his status is and what his goal is, what his activities are, what he's doing, what his ghaibah means, and issues concerning these topics, inshallah. As Shias, we believe that every time and age there must be a Khalifatullah, a Hujjah. This is specified in our riwayat, and you could say it's mutawatir. It's not one riwayat, there are many riwayat that say that every age there must be a Khalifatullah, there must be a Hujjah. This was true before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's also true after the Prophet. We believe that after the Prophet, there were 12 successors appointed by the Prophet. 11 of these successors, of these Imams, were all martyred, were all killed. مَا مِنَّا إِلَّا مَسْمُومٌ أَوْ مَقْتُولٌ. We have a number of the riwayat that say that all the Imams were martyred. And that's a fact that this year I believe. There is one successor of the Prophet, the 12th successor, who is in occultation, in hiding. He is in ghaib. Alright, so we believe that there has to be a hujjah, that there has to be a khalifa of God on earth. Whether this Khalifa is present, is known to humankind, people know him, people can associate with him, people can talk to him, or he is in occultation. And we believe that the 12th Imam, that the 12th successor to the Prophet, he is in occultation. And this is one of the principal beliefs of the Shia faith, and we honor that. Now, one of the main questions that this leads to and that it's a point of debate between Ahl al-Sunnah and the Shia, is what good is the existence of an imam who is in hiding? If the imam is meant to guide humankind, what good is his existence if people have no contact with him? Right, that's a question. One of the main questions associated with the topic of the occultation of our 12th Imam, Imam Mahdi. That, and this is the question that I would like to address tonight, inshallah ta'ala. And to address this question, we need to examine and consider the functions and the functions that the Imam has, the wadaif, the positions that the Imam has, and the functions that he fulfills. We need to examine these functions to thereby determine what advantage the existence of an imam who is an occult, who is an occultation, has. There are two main functions, brothers and sisters, that a hujjah of God, a khalifa of God, has. Two main functions. And the Shia theology, we refer to one function as al-wilaya al-takwiniyah, and we refer to the other as al-wilaya al-tashri'iyah. These are the two main functions that the imams have, that the hujjaj of God have: al-wilaya al-takwiniyah and al-wilaya al-tashri'iyah. Now, what is al-wilaya al-takwiniyah? Let's consider al-wilaya al-takwiniyah first, and then inshallah ta'ala we'll get into, we'll talk about al-wilaya al-tashri'iyah. I have spoken about al-wilaya al-takwiniyah in the previous lectures that I've had at al-Mahdi, so I'll only briefly touch on this topic, inshallah ta'ala. Al-wilaya al-takwiniyah, or to translate it into English, existential authority. It is in this capacity that the Ahlul Bayt represent the ar-rububiyyah at-takwiniyyah of God. It is in this capacity that they bridge the arcs of descent and the arcs of ascent. The Qaws al-Nuzul, al-Qaws al-Nuzul, al-Qaws al-Su'ud. It is in this capacity that they hold the earth and all the heavens together. It is this capacity that we refer to as al-Wilaya al-Takwiniyah. Shukran. In Ziyara Jami'i Kabira, which is very recommended by Imam Mahdi to be read by Shia frequently, one of the phrases that we read is Bikum bada Allah wa bikum yakhtam. God began creation by you, and He ends creation with you. Alright, this is another expression for saying that they are the link that connecting the arcs of descent and the arcs of ascent. And it is in view of this function of the Ahlul Bayt, this capacity of the Ahlul Bayt, that we have numerous rawayat that say that if the earth is left without an imam, without a hujjah, for 1 hour, the whole thing, the whole universe would implode, would collapse, along with whatever is in it. There are many rawayat that say this. One particular one that I would like to read to you here. عن أبي عبد الله عليه السلام في حديث أن أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام قال اعلموا أن الأرض لا تخلو من حجة لله عز وجل. Be aware, know that the earth will never be without حجة. ولكن الله سيعمي خلقه عنها بظلمهم وجهلهم. God has made people blind to the 12th Imam because of the oppression, because he would have been martyred, because he would have been slain like his forefathers if he had been living a normal life. وَلَوْ خَلَتِ الْأَرْضُ صَاعَةً وَاحِدَةً مِنْ حُجَّةِ اللَّهِ صَاخَتْ بِأَهْلِهَا. And if the earth is left without an imam for a short period of time, for an hour, it would implode along with whatever is in it. وَلَكِنَّ الْحُجَّةَ تَعْرُفُ النَّاسُ وَلَا يَعْرِفُونَهَا كَمَا كَانَ يُوسُفُ يَعْرِفُ النَّاسُ وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكَرُونَ. The 12th Imam knows people, he knows everyone, he is aware of all the actions of the Shia and the non-Shia, but people are unaware of him and are ignorant of his person and where he is and so on and so forth. So one of the benefits or one of the advantages that the existence of an imam has is to create, to maintain this universe in existence. Without the imam, this universe would not exist. That is one of the benefits of having an imam. Although, and this benefit derives from the imam, or it comes from the imam, whether he's hadir, whether he is present, or whether he's ghaib, whether he is in occultation. Regardless of his state of presence or occultation, this benefit comes from the imam. Now, as to why this benefit comes about, as to why the Ahlul Bayt have this function, why the Khalifatullah, or how the Khalifatullah officiates in this capacity, I've talked a lot about this in the previous nights, and so I will not go into more detail concerning this function. The second function, or the second capacity of the Ahlul Bayt, which is what we all are aware of, inshallah ta'ala, is their al-wilaya al-tashri'iyya, their legislative authority. It is in this capacity that they are the representatives of God's al-rububiyya al-tashri'iyya. It is in this capacity that they convey and interpret God's law. It is in this capacity that they are entitled to rule humankind. We believe that the only people genuinely entitled to rule humankind are the Ahlul Bayt. Right. This is the second function of the Ahlul Bayt, the second benefit that humankind derives from the Ahlul Bayt. And this benefit is pretty much absent in the absence of the imam. We are deprived to a great extent, we are deprived of this capacity of the imam. Although he has the imam, whether Imam Mahdi and the previous imam, starting from the Prophet himself, although the Ahlul Bayt have specified that in the absence of the imam, the faqih, the fuqaha, those who have the necessary requirements, they are the representatives of the Ahlul Bayt, that they are the extension of the al-wilaya al-tashri'iyya of the Ahlul Bayt, that they can interpret the law of God, that they can rule human society, and that's why we believe in walayatul faqih. Despite of this, we are still deprived of the al-wilaya al-tashri'iyya of the Ahlul Bayt. Although the fuqaha are doing a very, very good job, and it's what they're doing is necessary, but they can never fully fill the void of the al-wilaya al-tashri'iyya, the legislative authority of the Ahlul Bayt. And that's why we have the disagreements among the ulama. That's why we have all these problems that we have in the world. It's because the fuqaha, although their office, although what they're doing, their activities, their scholarly pursuits are very necessary, yet it can never be the same as the al-wilaya tashri'iyya of the Ahlul Bayt. There is, however, brothers and sisters, another aspect to the functions and activities of the Ahlul Bayt. And that is what we sometimes refer to al-hidayah al-batiniyah. Al-hidayah al-batiniyah, which we could translate as a hidden guidance or covert guidance, as opposed to al-wilayah al-tashri'iyah, which is al-hidayah al-zahiriyah, which is overt guidance, it's open guidance. This al-hidayah al-batiniyah is a hidden type of guidance. It's a guidance that people usually do not notice. Yet it is a type of guidance that the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt, without a doubt, specify and verify. I'll read to you two riwayats I have written down here regarding this al-hidayah al-batiniyah, and then inshallah ta'ala I'll give you a couple of examples of how this al-hidayah al-batiniyah works. The first riwayah is from Imam Sadiq, and it appears in Ikmaluddin or Kamaluddin, Bahar al-Anwar, Ithbatul Huda, and other books as well, Manaqib ibn Shahran Shub, and other books. An Sulaiman al-A'mash. The narrator is Sulaiman al-A'mash. An al-Sadiq alayhi salam. لم تخل الأرض منذ خلق الله آدم من حجة لله فيها. Since the creation of Adam, the earth has never been left without a hujjah, without a divine viceroy. ظاهر مشهور أو غائب مستور. Whether this hujjah might be known to people or he might be hidden to people. Regardless of this, there has to be a hujjah. إلا أن تقوم الساعة من حجة لله فيها. I think I haven't written down this sentence accurately. ولا تخلو إلا أن تقوم الساعة من حجة لله فيها. There is never a time when the earth is left without a hujjah. وَلَوْلَا ذَلِكَ This is the sentence I would like to highlight. وَلَوْلَا ذَلِكَ لَمْ يُعْبَدِ اللَّهِ If it weren't for this, if it weren't for the hujjah, for the concealed hujjah, for the hujjah and occultation, God would not be worshipped. لَمْ يُعْبَدِ اللَّهِ It doesn't say صَاخَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِأَهْلِهَا. That's the al-wilaya takwiniyah. This is something different. Lam yu'badillah. God would not be worshipped. Inshallah, I'll come back to that later. Qala Sulaiman, the narrator asks Imam Sadiq, فَقُلْتُ لِلصَّادِقِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فَكَيْفَ لَنْتَفَعُ النَّاسِ بِالْحُجَّةِ الْغَائِبِ الْمَسْتُورِ How can people benefit from a divine viceroy, a hujjah of God, who is in occultation. قال كما ينتفعون بالشمس إذا سترها السحاب. I'm sure you guys have heard this a lot. Just as the people benefit from the sun when it is shrouded by clouds. That's the benefit that humankind derive. And it's this that it is the capacity or it is the function of al-hidayah al-batiniyah that the Imam is referring to. The second riwayah, عن جابر الجعفي. The chain of transmission is interesting. It's one of those rare chains of transmission. عن جابر الجعفي, عن جابر الأنصاري. One Jabir from the other Jabir. Jabir al-Jurfi, which is one of the best ashab, one of the best mawali of Imam Baqir. Mainly Imam Baqir, of course, he lived at the time of Imam Sadiq and Imam Kadhim as well, but mainly with Imam Baqir. And Jabir al-Ansari, he is narrating this riwayah from Jabir al-Ansari, who lived it from the time, he was one of the ashab of the Prophet, and he lived all the way up to Imam Baqir, and he saw Imam Baqir before dying. إِنَّهُ سَأَلَ النَّبِي, Jabir al-Ansari asks the Prophet, هَلْ يَنْتَفَعُ الشِّيَةُ, I'm not going to mention this name of Imam Mahdi, هَلْ يَنْتَفَعُ الشِّيَةُ بِالْمَهْدِي, how will Shia benefit from Imam Mahdi when he is in occultation? One point we can derive from this riwayah, and many some scholars have said this, is that even during the time of the Prophet, certain people were known as the Shi'atu Ali, even before the Prophet passed away. And that's what that's one side point we can derive from this riwayah as well. So Jabir al-Ansari is asking the Prophet, هل ينتفع الشيعة بالمهدي عليه السلام في غيبته؟ فقال صلى الله عليه وآله إي والذي بعثني بالنبوة إنهم لينتفعون به ويستضيئون بنور ولايته في غيبته. Yes, by God who appointed me, his Prophet, they will benefit from him. And they will benefit from his life, from his light that shines out of his wilayah during his occultation. كَانْتِفَاعِ النَّاسِ بِالشَّمْسِ وَإِنْ جَلَّ لَهَا السَّحَابِ, just as people benefit from the sun when it is shrouded by clouds. These two riwayat, brothers and sisters, are referring to something that is the capacity, the function of the Ahlul Bayt that is referred to as Al-Hidayah Al-Batiniyah. Like I said, it's you could say it's something between al-wilaya at-takwiniyya and al-wilaya at-tashri'iyya. It is a special function that the Ahlul Bayt have. That is, by this guidance, they guide humankind, but not through the normal paths of guidance, not through the zahiri paths of guidance, through batini ways of guidance. What exactly does al-hidayah al-batiniyah mean? And what are some of the instances? Inshallah, if we consider these instances and examples, it will be a little clearer for us what al-hidayah al-batiniyah is. There is a very, very interesting riwayah in Al-Kafi. I think it's in Kitab al-Hujjah, but I'm not sure. Very interesting riwayah, and very lengthy as well, very extensive riwayah, that exemplifies, or that mentions one instance of the Hidayah al-Batiniyah of the Ahlul Bayt. An Ya'qub ibn Ja'far qala kuntu 'inda Abi Ibrahim alayhi salam. The narrator is Ya'qub ibn Ja'far. He says he was with Imam Kadhim. Imam Kadhim has two kunyas, right? One is Abu al-Hasan, the other is Abu Ibrahim. Ya'qub ibn Ja'far says he was with Imam Kadhim, وَأَتَاهُ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ نَجْرَانِ الْيَمَنِ مِنَ الرُّهْبَانِ وَمَعَهُ رَاهِبَةٌ. A monk, a Christian monk, a rahib, and a rahibah, and a Christian nun from Yemen from Najran came to Imam Qasim. فَاسْتَأْذَنَ لَهُمَا الْفَضْلُ بْنُ سَوَّارِ. This person goes to Imam Qasim and tells Imam Qasim that there's two people who want to see you. There's a rahib and a rahibah who would like to see you. And when you read this rawayah, you can clearly feel the atmosphere of taqiyah. You can clearly see, they can't just go up to Imam Qasim and say, we have a question. Okay, they have to find someone else. They know the atmosphere, they have to find someone else, send someone to go to Imam Qasim and say, we would like to see Imam Qasim. It's because of the atmosphere, it's because of the taqiyah at the time, because of the hard time. The Shia were in a very difficult situation. It was very difficult for them to see their imam. So anyway, فَقَالَ لَهُ إِذَا كَانَ غَدًا فَأَتِ بِهِمَا عِنْدَ بِئْرُ أُمِّ خَيْرٍ. And the imam doesn't say bring him to me, because that's not possible because of the circumstances. He says, tomorrow we'll meet each other at بِئْرُ أُمِّ خَيْرٍ, at this place. قَالَ فَوَافَيْنَا مِنَ الْغَدْ فَوَجَدْنَا الْقَوْمَ قَدْ وَافَوْا فأمر بخصفة بواري ثم جلس وجلسوا. Then tomorrow we went there and we saw Imam was there. We were there too, and Imam said, "Bring a rug." And then a rug was brought, and Imam sat down, and the monk and nun sat down as well. فبدأت الراهبة بالمسائل فسألت عن مسائل كثيرة كل ذلك يجيبها وسألها أبو إبراهيم عن أشياء لم يكن عندها فيه شيء ثم أسلمت. The nun asked Imam Qasim concerning certain questions. Imam Qasim answered all those questions. And then Imam Qasim asked the nun certain questions she couldn't answer. And because of this dialogue, because of this conversation, the nun accepted Islam. She became Shia. ثم أقبل الراهب. Now it's going to get more interesting, inshallah. ثم أقبل الراهب يسأله. فكان يجيبه في كل ما يسأله. After the nun, the monk comes to Imam Qasim, and he asks many questions, and Imam Qasim answers all the questions.
فقال الراهب قد كنت قويا على ديني وما خلفت أحدا من النصارى في الأرض يبلغ مبلغي في العلم.
After Imam Qasim answers all the questions, the monk says, I was the highest priest, the highest monk in Najran, and I was the firmest Christian of that region.
وَلَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ بَرَجُلٍ فِي هِنْد.
I heard of a very strange person in India.
إِذَا شَاءَ حَجَّ إِلَى بَيْتِ الْمَقْدَسِ فِي يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ ثُمَّ يَرْجُعُ إِلَى مَنْزِلِهِ بِأَرْضِ الْهِنْد.
This strange person, this mysterious person in Hind, in India, he has such powers that he can go to بيت المقدس, مقدس, or so this person, this monk is assuming. He can go to Jerusalem, to بيت المقدس from India, go to Jerusalem, and come back in the course of a 24-hour period.
فسألت عنه بأي أرض هو.
Okay, so the monk is telling Imam Qasim that he heard of this person in India, and then the monk started inquiring about this person. This is the account that he's telling Imam Qasim.
فقيل له إنه بسندان.
The monk asks concerning this strange person in India, and he is told that this strange person lives in a region in India that is called Sindan.
وسألت الذي أخبرني فقال هو علم الاسم الذي ظفر به عاصف صاحب سليمان لما أتى بعرش سبا.
The person who told me that this strange guy in India, who told me about this strange guy, he said this strange person, this mysterious person, knows the ism, the name of God that Asif had, and by which Asif was able to bring the throne of Sheba عرش سبا, from where she was to where Suleiman was in less than a blink of an eye.
وهو الذي ذكره في كتاب لكم في كتابكم ولنا معشر الأديان في كتابنا.
And this is the name, this is the story that appears in the Quran, and also it is a story that God has told us in the Old Testament and the New Testament as well.
The conversation with Imam continues. I will omit a couple of paragraphs. After a few minutes, Imam called them
after asking the rahib, after asking the monk several questions. Imam called them, says, "Ud ila hadith al-Hindi. Tell me the rest of the story about the strange person in India."
فقال الراهب سمعت الأسماء ولا أدري ما بطائنها ولا شرائحها ولا أدري ما هي ولا كيف هي ولا بدعائها.
So the monk says, I had heard about the Asma'ullah, the Asma al-A'zam, and the names of God that can give you mysterious powers. I didn't know how one could come into possession of these names of God. So I wanted to go and meet this strange person in India.
فانطلقت حتى قدمت سندان.
So I went, I traveled until I reached the region in India that is called Sindan.
فسألت عن الرجل فقيل له إنه بنى ديرا في جبل فصار لا يخرج ولا يرى إلا في كل سنة مرتين.
I went and I inquired about this person, and they told me that he's built himself a monastery and he's always in the monastery and he only leaves twice a year. He's always in his monastery.
وزعمت الهند أن الله تعالى فجر له عينا في ديره وزعمت الهند أنه يزرع له من غير زارع من غير زارع يلقيه ويحرث له من غير حرث يعمله.
And the people of India, the people of that region, believe or assume that wheat and other things that he needs for his living, they are cultivated for him without him having to do anything. In other words, God provides for his food and everything without him having to do anything.
فانتهيت إلى بابه فأقمت ثلاثا لا أدق الباب ولا أعالج الباب.
I came to his door. I did not knock on the door. I waited by the door for 3 days.
فلما كان اليوم الرابع فتح الله الباب وجاءت بقرة عليها حطب تجر ذرعها يكاد يخرج ما في ذرعها من اللبن.
On the fourth day, I saw a cow come to the door of this person. And then the door mysteriously opened. The cow had firewood on its back, and it went into the monastery.
فدفعت الباب فانفتح فتبعتها فتبعتها ودخلت فوجدت الرجل قائما ينظر إلى السماء.
I followed the cow and went inside the monastery. I saw the man, this mysterious man.
ينظر إلى السماء فيبكي وينظر إلى الأرض فيبكي وينظر إلى الجبال فيبكي.
When I encountered this man, I saw him, he was looking at the sky and crying. He looked, turned his face and looked at the mountains, and again he was crying. He was constantly crying.
So this monk addresses this mysterious person. فَقُلْتُ لَهُ مَا أَقَلَّ ضَرْبَكَ فِي دَهْرِنَا هَذَا.
You are a strange person. I have not seen many people like you.
فَقَالَ لِي وَاللَّهِ مَا أَنَا إِلَّا حَسَنَةٌ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِ رَجُلٍ خَلَّفْتَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِكَ.
He tells the monk, I am only one instance of the benefits that can derive from a man whom you left behind. The monk doesn't get the point at this part of the conversation at this point in the conversation. He doesn't understand what the person is talking about. So the conversation continues.
فَقُلْتُ لَهُ أُخْبِرْتُ أَنَّ عِنْدَكَ إِسْمًا مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى تَبْلُغُ بِهِ فِي كُلَّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ بَيْتَ الْمَقْدِسِ.
The monk tells the rahib, the monk tells this person, I have been told that you have one, that you are in position of one of the names of God whereby you are able to go to Jerusalem and back in a matter of a day.
فَقَالَ لِي فَهَلْ تَعْرِفُ الْبَيْتَ الْمُقَدَّسِ.
At this point, this mysterious man tells the monk, do you know what البيت المقدس is?
فَقُلْتُ لَهْ لَا أَعْرِفُ إِلَّا بَيْتَ الْمَقْدِسِ.
I don't know بيت المقدس. I only know بيت المقدس. بيت المقدس is Jerusalem. I have never heard of البيت المقدس.
لا أعرف إلا بيت المقدس الذي بالشام.
فقال, the strange man says, ليس بيت المقدس ولكنه البيت المقدس. I'm not talking about بيت المقدس. I'm not talking about Jerusalem. I'm talking about البيت المقدس. And
وهو بيت آل محمد.
فقلت له. So this strange person tells this monk that I am one of the hasanat of the Bayt al Muhammad. All the powers that I have, that all the strange things you've heard from me, I'm one of the ashab of Bayt al Muhammad, of the Ahlul Bayt.
After a few minutes, I'm going to again omit part of the conversation. فَقُلْتُ لَهُ.
The monk tells this strange person, إِنِّي قَدْ ضَرَبْتُ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ بَلَدٍ بَعِيدٍ تَعَرَّضْتُ إِلَيْكَ بِحَارًا وَغُمُومًا وَهُمُومًا وَخَوْفًا وَأَصْبَحْتُ وَأَمْسَيْتُ مُؤْيَسًا إِلَّا أَكُونَ أَلَّا أَكُونَ ظَفَرْتُ بِحَاجَتِي.
I have come all this way to see you. I've passed through dangerous seas. I've been through many dangers only to see you and to get my wish, to try to reach my aspiration, to get those powers from you.
The strange man tells him, ارجع من حيث جئت فانطلق حتى تنزل مدينة محمد. Go back. All the way you've come has been in vain. You have to go back to the source of knowledge. You have to go back to Medina. I'm emitting a part. He tells him, again, because of the atmosphere of Taghiyya, he doesn't tell him go straight to Musa al-Kadham. He tells him to go to this person, tell that person, only see that person, and that person will take you to that person, and then he's going to arrange the meeting for you. That's how severe, that's how difficult the situation was.
ثُمَّ سَلْهُ عَنْ فُلَانِ ابْنِ فُلَانَ الْفُلَانِ.
Again, the name, you shouldn't say the name out loud. The name has to be also kept secret. Ask him, عَنْ فُلَانِ ابْنِ فُلَانَ الْفُلَانِ. أي مُوسَى بْنِ جَعْفَرَ الْكَاظِمِ. Ask that person to take you to Musa.
قلت فإذا لقيته فأصنع ماذا. When I see Musa, Imam Musa,
when I see this person that you're referring to, what should I do? فقله فقال سلوا عما كان وعما هو كائن وسلوا عن معالم الدين من مضى ومن بقي. This person has knowledge of ما كان and ما يكون. He has knowledge of everything. He has knowledge of all the religions, past and present.
So after
this monk tells him about this entire story, remember this was the account that the monk was telling to Imam Musa al-Kadham. Imam Musa, he was telling Imam Musa al-Kadham, I had heard about this Indian guy, I went to India and he told me to come to you, and now I'm here.
فقال له أبو إبراهيم قد نصحك صاحبك الذي لقيت.
He told you the right thing to do.
فقال الراهب, the monk asked him, ما اسمه جعلت فداك.
Who is this Indian guy that I saw? Who is this guy in India?
قال هو متمم بن فيروز.
The name of this strange person is متمم ابن فيروز.
وهو من أبناء الفرس.
He's a Persian guy. He's from Iran. Originally from Iran.
وهو من من آمن بالله وحده لا شريك له وعبده بالإخلاص والإيقان وفر من قومه لما خالفهم.
He was a guy in Iran. He learned about the truth. And so his people, the Majus of Iran, they couldn't tolerate that. They wanted to punish him, and so he fled.
He went to India. فَوَهَبَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ حِكَمًا وَحُكْمًا وَهَدَاهُ سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ.
So God gave him wisdom and guided him to the straight path.
وَجَعَلَهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ وَعَرَّفَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ عِبَادِهِ الْمُخْلَصِينَ.
God guided him to the straight path and introduced him to the Ahlul Bayt. عبادها المخلصين. The عباد المخلصين are the Ahlul Bayt. We have the Wayant that interprets the عباد المخلصين mentioned in the Quran as the Ahlul Bayt. The end of this riwayah. So there is this person in India. Now why is he living in India? We don't know. Imam Musa al-Kadhim has given him knowledge, at least partial knowledge of the Ism al-A'zam, the same thing that Asif has. But he doesn't tell him to come to Medina to live with him. This guy is living in India. He has these powers. This is one instance of the Al-Hidayah Al-Batiniyah I was mentioning. Okay? Where through mysterious ways, the Ahlul Bayt impart knowledge to certain chosen individuals so that the light of truth would not die out. And then they send them to different places. Okay? There would have been any, there wouldn't have been any problem for this person to go to Medina. But he has a mission to complete in India. He has to be there, okay, to sow the seeds of the true faith in that region. Okay. That was one instance. I know it took a long time. The second instance, inshallah, will be shorter. The second instance that I would like to bring to your attention is the case of Sayyid Ali Shushtari, or as Sayyid Ali Tustari, Arabic Shushtar is called Tustar. Sayyid Ali Tustari. This also has a very interesting story. You've all heard of Allama Al-Tabatabai, inshallah. Allama Al-Tabatabai, the great contemporary Quranic Mufassir, exegete, in the Arif. Allama Tabatabai's teacher was Allama Qadi. Allama Qadi's teacher in Irfan was Sayyid Ahmad Karbalai. Sayyid Ahmad Karbalai's teacher was Mullah Hussein Quliya Hamadani. And Mullah Hussein Quliya Hamadani's teacher was Sayyid Aliya Shushtari. Now this Sayyid Ali Shushtari, He had been in Najaf, he had studied fiqh, he'd become a mujtahid, and then he went back to his hometown, Shushtar, at-Tustar, in Iran. And he became the qadi of Shushtar. This might have been like if, around the time of Sheikh Ansari, around that time. Maybe a little before Sheikh Ansari became the marja. So he went back to his hometown, Shushtar, and then he officiated in the, as the qadi. He acted as the qadi of Shushtar. He was the faqih there, and people referred to him for their different affairs. One night, in the middle of the night, this person comes and knocks on his door. In the middle of the night, this person comes and knocks on his door, and he wakes up and he's shocked. Who could this be? His servant goes to the door and says, the person at the door is introducing himself as Mullah Quliya Jawla, a weaver. And he's told me to tell you, the servant, said Ali Shushtari's servant, tells him that Mullah Quliya Jawla has told him to tell Sayyid Ali Shushtari that the path he is following will lead to hellfire. Sayyid, this mujtahid, he's the qadi of Shushtar. One night he wakes up, someone's knocking at the door. It's like a poor beggar, looks like a beggar, with not too good of, he doesn't look too good. He looks like a beggar. He knocks on the door, and then he tells Sayyid Ali Shushtari that the path that you're following leads to hellfire. Sayyid Ali Shushtari says, I think this guy is crazy. I think he's insane. So he disregards him. 8 days later, that same person comes in the middle of the night again, knocks on the door. Again, Sayyid Ali Shushtari goes to the door. This time, Mullah Quliya Jawla tells Sayyid Ali Shushtari that one case that you judged today was wrong. Mullah Quliya Jawla tells him that today you made a decision, you made a judgment, you told a person that he has the right to be the owner of such and such place. Alright, that such and such place is waqf, is dedicated, is mawquf. Your judgment was incorrect, was invalid. And the documents that this place was mawquf is in a box buried in such and such place. Go and find it. So Sayyid Ali Shushtari, the next day, he goes out, he's dumbfounded, he's extremely shocked by the experience he has the night before. He takes some people with him and he goes to that place that Mullah Quliya Jawla has told him. And he digs up, he finds the box, and it's exactly the documents that Mullah Quliya Jawla had told him were there. Alright? 8 days later, or 8 nights later, again Mullah Quliya Jawla comes back. This time, Sayyid Ali Shushtari, he goes to the door and he greets this person. And he tells him, Mullah Quliya Jawla smiles and says, did you realize I'm not crazy? Did you realize I'm not insane? Sayyid Ali Shushtari says, what should I do? He says, sell everything that you have here. Go back to Najaf, I'll meet you there. Sayyid Ali Shushtari goes back to Najaf. And in Wad al-Salam, they meet. Excuse me, I forgot to say this. Before, when he tells him that you have to sell everything and go to Najaf, he also gives him certain adhkar to say. And he tells him that we're going to meet in Najaf. So he goes, Sayyid Ali Shushtari sells everything and prepares and then goes to Najaf. And in Wad al-Salam they meet. Mullah Quliya Jawla tells him, this is our last encounter. These are the azkar, or these are the things that you have to do. These are the formulas that you have to do. Tomorrow I'm going to die in Shushtar. The distance between Shushtar and Najaf back, especially back then, was at least, I guess, at least a week by on camel or by caravan. It was at least a week distance, a distance of a week. So he tells him, I'm going to die in Shushtar tomorrow. You follow this path. Okay. He follows that path. He becomes the great Arif of his time. The true Arif, not the Mutasawwif and the Sufi that don't follow the true path of the Ahlul Bayt. Sheikh Ansari used to go to the classes of this Sayyid Ali Shushtari. Sheikh Ansari was the greatest scholar of his time. Everyone said Ali Shushtari used to go to his fiqh and usul class. But he used to come to the secret classes of Sayyid Ali Shushtari and Irfan. And then the same person trained someone as great as Mullah Hussain Wali Hamidani. He trained many, many great students. One of them was Sayyid Ahmad al-Karbalai. And one of the students of Sayyid Ahmad al-Karbalai was Allama Qadi Tabatabai. And one of the students of Allama Qadi was Allama Tabatabai. This again, brothers and sisters, is one of those instances of Al-Hidayah Al-Batiniyah. Remember in that riwaya that I read you, that I read to you, the Imam had said, if it weren't for this guidance, لَمْ يُعْبَدِ اللَّهِ, God would not be worshipped. The Ahlul Bayt at all times, okay, in every age, they train certain people to embody that spiritual truth, to embody that spiritual light, so that it won't die out. And this is one aspect. This is not the whole truth of Al-Hidayah Al-Batiniyah. This is only one aspect of Al-Hidayah Al-Batiniyah. Passing on the spiritual truth of the Ahlul Bayt. There are other aspects too, like the inspirations that Imam Mahdi puts in the hearts of the fuqaha, of the scholars, of the great personages of the Shia faith, so that they would be able to guide the Shia. If you look at the history of the Shia, with all the persecution, with all the obstacles, not only has the Shia persisted, it has grown. It's only due to this Al-Hidayah and Batiniyah. There's this other account, inshallah I'm going to wrap up shortly. There's this other account, I mentioned it in the Salatul Jum'ah, previous Salatul Jum'ah, but I'd like to mention it again because I think it's a very interesting account. And we know in the Dhikra Tanfa' al-Mu'mineen, these things, to repeat them is not, inshallah, it's not tedious and won't be boring, inshallah ta'ala. This is again another instance of the Al-Hidayah al-Batiniyah from a different perspective, from a different aspect of Al-Hidayah al-Batiniyah. After the 33-day war in Lebanon, when the Shia, alhamdulillah, defeated Israel, Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi, he's a known scholar of the poem, he went to Lebanon to see Sayyid Hassan. And that meeting that he had, Sayyid Hassan told him several of the miracles that had happened during the war, during the 33-day war. One of the miracles that Ayatollah Misbah recounted was this, that in one of these days, there was a group of the Shia soldiers. They were surrounded by the Israeli forces. And they had no way out. They had no way to escape. And so they were all getting ready for martyrdom, for Shahada. They were all saying their Shahadas, they were all prepared to die. As they were approaching their last moments, all of a sudden, out of the blue, missiles from behind the front line came and it hit the Israeli soldiers that were there. And so the Shia soldiers, they were free to go. Alhamdulillah, they left that spot they were. And the Israelis, many of them were killed, and the rest of them fled. Now when these soldiers, when they contacted their headquarters, they thanked them. They thanked the headquarters for sending the missiles right in time to save them. The reply they got was that we sent no missiles. There were no missiles. This is one of the miracles that Sayyid Hassan recounts to Ayatollah Miswayazd. And this is again one of the instances of the Al-Hidayah Al-Batiniyah, of the Imam. So, going back to the question that I posed at the beginning of the speech, those who ask what advantage, what benefit does the existence of Imam Mahdi have? What benefit does the existence of Imam Mahdi have when he is an occultation? The answer is, first of all, the Wilaya Takwiniya, and secondly, this Al-Hidayah Al-Batiniya. These are the two clearest examples of the benefit that the existence of Imam Mahdi has for all humankind. And if it weren't for this, brothers and sisters, the Shia would have definitely died out. The Shia would have been persecuted, and would the Shia faith, the light of God, would have been extinguished. And therefore, the worship of God and the ta'at of God would have died out on the earth. And that's why the Imam says, as I read to you, if it weren't for this, لَمْ يُعْبَدِ اللَّهِ. It's because it's on account of this Al-Hidayah Al-Batiniyah. And because of the grace and mercy of it, that Imam Mahdi has on us, that the Shia faith has been able to persist. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد.